إن الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلوات والسلام على رسول الله. إن شاء الله we will begin our second segment in this discussion series, inshallah, entitled The Methodology of Understanding the Deen, inshallah. Our speaker again is our brother Farid Abdullah, inshallah.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، يقول الله تعالى: فإن آمنوا بمثل ما آمنتم به فقد اهتدوا وإن تولوا فإنما هم في شقاق فسيكفيكهم الله وهو السميع العليم صبغة الله ومن أحسن من الله صبغة ونحن له عابدون. فإن آمنوا بمثل ما آمنتم به فقد اهتدوا. And if they believe the way you believe, then they would have been guided aright. فإن تولوا, and if they turn their backs on this, فإنما هم في شقاق, then they are only in opposition. فسيكفيكهم الله وهو السميع العليم. Allah will suffice you against them. He's all hearing, all knowing. Sibghatullah, this is an expression in Arabic which is known as an igra. It means adhere to. And sibgha here, according to Ibn Abbas, refers to the deen of Allah. In other words, stick to Allah's deen. Okay, sibghatullah wa man ahsanu min Allahi sibgha wa nahnu lahu abidun. Stick or adhere to Allah's deen, and who is better than Allah in respect to his sibgha and giving you those things that would help you in the life to come. Wa nahnu lahu abidun, and we are those who submit or worship Allah. This particular verse actually tells us that only if the believers believe the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam believed shall they be guided. There is no other way for you to perceive of a person being on guidance unless this is there. They believe the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught his Sahaba to believe. And if people turn away from that reality, believing the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam believed, then they're in opposition. They're in opposition. Wa sayakfikahum Allah, and Allah will suffice you against them. We have already seen earlier the importance of understanding our deen through the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also understanding it based on the understanding of his students, the companions. Now, there are some narrations which help us, and we have seen some of them. Abi Abdul Rahman, Abdullah ibn Habib ibn Rabi'a, he was one of the Qurra from among the Tabi'een, one of the children of the Sahaba who happened to be one of the Tabi'een. He expresses the way his teachers, the Sahaba, used to teach them. He said, حَدَّثَنَا مَنْ كَانَ يُقْرِئُنَا الْقُرْآنَ من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم that the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, who used to teach us the Quran, taught us, alhamdulillah, that كانوا يستقرئون من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عشر آيات. They would receive from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم about 10 verses. ثم لا يأخذون في العشر الأخرى حتى يتعلموا, until they learned. They would not go and receive another 10 until they knew what they received from the first 10 of ilm wal amal, knowledge and the practice that went along with that knowledge. He said, فَإِنَّ عَلِمْنَا الْعَمَلْ وَالْعِلْمِ. We acquired not only knowledge, but the practice, the implementation along with that. The generation then of the Sahaba, they were a unique group of people. They not only acquired knowledge of this deen from the Prophet ﷺ, but we had characters that implemented, we had lives that exemplified revelation on the face of this earth. After the Prophet ﷺ, you remember Aisha radiallahu anha being questioned عن خلق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, his character. What did she say? خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ, his character is the Qur'an. If you wanted then to see Allah's book being implemented on the face of the earth, we have the Prophet ﷺ. The Sahaba were taught by this person ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ took every care and concern to make sure that they were taught correctly. Ibn Abbas says, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعلمنا التشهد كما يعلمنا السورة من القرآن. That Allah's messenger would teach us the tashahud the same way He would teach us a verse of the Quran. He would take the time out to teach them like this, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And of course we have all through the ahadith where the Prophet ﷺ did this. One of the issues that we have that we'd like to point out tonight, where people deviated, we need to understand first of all what was it that the Quran said about the issue, because remember now this is the methodology. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ آمَنْتُ بِهِ فَقَدْ اهْتَدَوْا. If they believe like you believe, then and only then they will be guided aright. So we know that if any issue comes up, and we see the Prophet ﷺ directing the believers to believe a certain way, then his understanding is to be given priority over any other understanding which goes against it. Tayyib. He taught his companions. If his companions have an understanding, then we find that others came with an understanding that went against the understanding that the companions had, then we are to prefer the understanding of the companions because they were taught directly by the Prophet ﷺ. If we look into the tabi'een, the ulama from among them who received from the Sahaba, and we find that they agree with the Sahaba who agree with the Prophet ﷺ, of course his teachings go along with the Quran. Then we look at that and we see this in one area and we find that the other opinion is on the left hand side, then it becomes clear which is correct. If the issue being discussed has possibilities, it could be looked at this way or that way, but we find that the Prophet ﷺ accepted this understanding, he taught it, the companions and also their students, then we learn to weigh the situation by using the yardstick over here, the sunnah, well, the understanding of the sahabas, what they taught. Well, this is a good yardstick to use to determine what is right or wrong. Tayyib? Okay. Now, a person comes to you and say, brothers, I've been reading the Quran all my life. And I have read in the Quran where Allah says, وَأَقْرَبُ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. He is closer to you than your jugular veins. مَا يَكُونُ مِنْ نَجْوَى ثَلَاثَ إِلَّا هُوَ رَابِعُهُمْ وَلَا خَمْسَ إِلَّا هُوَ سَادِسُهُمْ. Whenever people engage in their secret conversation, there's never three except Allah is the fourth. Or five except that He's the sixth. You know what this means? This means that Allah is right around here. Not only that, that, you know, if He's closer to your jugular veins, man, this is under your skin. So you got Allah running in your blood. Now, that's how we understand it. No, not us. How they understand it. Okay? A person looks at that understanding and say, you know, brother, it was not understood like that by the companions. But you know, Ibn Arabi mentioned, he says, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, there's Allah is in everything. مَا عَبَدَ الْمَجُوزَ النَّارِ إِنَّمَا عَبَدُ اللَّهِ الْوَاحِدَ الْقَهَارِ. Said the fire worshippers didn't worship the fire, they worship Allah, the one, the irresistible. Because everything is an expression of Allah. And if you look at Hallaj and he says, مَا فِي جُبَّةِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Ain't nothing in this garment other than Allah. You're looking at divinity here, brothers. No, not here. You know, he's... you're looking at divinity. Right? One person says, look, you had some outstanding people in this day and time with that belief. How could it be wrong? When you're in Salah, Allah's in front of you, it says, got to be right. A person asks Ibn al-Madini about the verse in Surah Al-Mujadila. That there is never three except Allah is the fourth. Never five come together. He said, did you read what was before that? أَلَمْ تُرَ أَنَّ اللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. That Allah knows whatever is above the sky and on the earth. Don't you know how He ended it? That Allah ala kulli shayin qadir, afwan, bi kulli shayin alim. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware, knowledgeable of everything. He starts out with knowledge and concludes it with knowledge. So what is intended in the verse is pointed out in the verse itself, knowledge. That's cool. Well, you know, what about them other verses? Let us look and see what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about him. Okay, we believe like Allah said, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدِ اهْتَدَوْا وَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. If they believe like you believe, then and only then shall they be guided aright. And if they turn away, then they are in opposition. There is a narration, the beauty of it comes out in narrating the whole thing. And it's a popular narration, but I love it. Every time I read it, I enjoy it. It is the narration of Muawiyah ibn Hakam al-Sulami. This brother who came into the masjid, he says, بَيْنَمَا أَنَا أُسَلِّ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمِ إِذْ عَطَسَ رَجُلٌ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ. While praying with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a person there present sneezed, and I said to him, "Fakultu yarhamukallah." While praying, I turned to him and I said, "Yarhamukallah." This is in prayer. Faramani alqom yabsarihim, and so the brothers started to look at me with their faces. Fakult. وَاثُقْلَ أُمِّيَّا. He said, they started looking at me, I said, وَاثُقْلَ أُمِّيَّا. لِمَا تَنْظُرُونِ إِلَيَّ. Why are you looking at me like this? He's already in Salah, talking. He says, and the brothers started, فَجَعَلُوا يَضْرِبُونَ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ عَلَىٰ أَفْخَادِهِمْ. They started to hit their thighs. You know, keep quiet, man. He says, فَلَمَّا رَأَيْتُهُمْ يُسَنِّتُونِي. When I saw them trying to get me to keep quiet, he was just going to go and, as the brothers say, take off on them. I'm just telling the brother, يَرْحَمُكَاللَّهِ, and you're telling me to keep quiet. اِشْفِكُوا. No. He says, وَلَكِنِّي سَكَتْ, but I kept quiet. He says, فَلَمَّا صَلَّى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now here comes the character of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, which is beautiful, as always. He said, بِأَبِّي هُوَ وَأُمِّي. May my mother and my father be a ransom for Allah's Messenger. مَا رَأَيْتُ مُعَلِّمًا قَبْلَهُ وَلَا بَعْدَهُ أَحْسَنَ تَعْلِيمًا مِنْهُ. I have never seen a teacher before or after the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم who was better in instructing the people. He says, وَاللَّهِ فَوَاللَّهِ مَا كَهَرَنِي وَمَا ضَرَبَنِي وَلَا شَتَمَنِي. He said, by Allah, I swear by Allah, He never forced me, He never hit me, laid His hands on me, or reviled me, abused me verbally. قَالَ, the only thing He said, إِنَّ هَذِي الصَّلَاةِ لَا يَسْلُحُ فِيهَا شَيْءٌ مِّن كَلَامِ النَّاسِ. That this prayer here, brother, there is no place for your worldly speech. إِنَّمَا هُوَ التَّسْبِيحُ وَالتَّقْبِيرُ تَكْبِيرُ وَقِرَاءَةُ الْقُرْآنِ. The only thing is glorifying Allah, praising Him, and recitation of the Qur'an. Now see, when Muawiyah saw that the Prophet ﷺ was so lenient, you know, not like a person who comes in and you know, he's calling to good, and you come in and you talk in the prayer line like that, you be, you know, by Allah's decree, you crawl out of the masjid with your whole limbs together. Come in, they're talking about Yarhamukallah. People looking, what you looking at me for? Huh? Yeah. In some places, brother, you come out of there alive, it's alhamdulillah. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very gentle in the way he taught the people. He saw that this brother did not know. He was not a knowledgeable person. If he was aware of it, he would not have done it like this. So the Prophet ﷺ spoke to him in this gentle way, where he felt, man, this personality is such a nice, sweet personality. Let me ask some other questions. He says, Ya Rasulullah. Look, now he's stretching out, because the character is one that invites you to open up to him. This sweet personality here. Let me, you know, seeing that we could hold hands, let me ask you some more questions. He said, Ya Rasulullah. إني حديث عهد جاهلية. I'm new. I just came out of ignorance. وقد جاء الله بالإسلام. And Islam came. Allah came with Islam. Gave me Islam. وإن من الرجال يأتون الكهان. And there are some of us who go to these fortune tellers. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, فلا تأتيهم. Do not go to them. Person going to tell you your fortune, or look, you know, read your palms and say, okay, you're gonna gain $1 million next week, and you got to pay half of that to get this information. You are probably going to such and such, and it seems like you know, he's looking at your Benz outside. You would have good fortune in the month to come, and prices, and don't go to them. He said. وَمِنَّا رِجَالٌ يَتَطَيَّرُونَ. There are people from amongst us who refrain from doing their business transactions because of the flight of birds. They had a thing where if a bird flew a certain way to the right or to the left, it indicated either good or bad. And a person, depending on its flight, would either continue his trade journey or turn away. The flight of bird, now, a bird flying indicated good or evil. You know, You know, this is real jahiliyyah. But we have it in this day and time, in the 20th century, among so-called educated people. Some buildings, they don't have the 13th floor. Well, you know, it's bad luck. You ride around with a rabbit's foot hanging on your car. You know, you rub it every now and then because it's going to help you out. You understand what I'm saying? A horseshoe. I mean, and folks believe that. Don't cross over someone whilst they're lying down. He ain't never gonna grow. And if you think of something good, you better knock on wood if you talk about it. People in this day and time still believe those things. It's a part of their belief system. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually wanted to kill this, and he did. Said, you know, فَلَا يَسُدَّنَّهُمْ ذَلِكَ شَيْءٌ يَجِدُونَهُ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ فَلَا يَسُدَّنَّهُمْ. This is something that, you know, a person may think about because of his past. You know, he used to believe that stuff in his past, so it comes across him whilst he's, you know, after Islam, it comes back and, you know, he's used to it, and now he's a bit, you know, his custom, a little bit of relic still there. He says, you know, if you find this in your heart, don't let it stop you, man. You cannot control this period of transition that is within. The struggle that you go through to clear it out of yourself. So don't let that stop you from you doing what you know is right. Act on the knowledge that you have. فَلَا يَسُدَّنَّكُمْ. Don't let it stop you. You know that this doesn't mean anything. Just go on about your business. He said, قلت ومن رجال يخطون. Now see, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, here comes one of his expressions that is extremely replete with wisdom. He said, there are some men amongst us who used to draw a line, and this was also an indication of some type of mystical thing where you draw a line and, you know, it is supposed to indicate some type of good. Or and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, كَانَ نَبِيٌ مِنَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ خُطُّ فَمَنْ وَافَقَ خَطَّهُ فَذَاكَ. There was a Prophet before who used to do this. And if you can come and do what he did, then it's alright. First of all, you would have to know what he did, how he did it, all of that. It's not possible. So if you could do the impossible, then it's alright. I like how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you could do the impossible, then it's cool, go ahead. Alright, the brothers understood that, so of course there was no going and trying to do the impossible, going in the sand, let me figure out what he did. Didn't do that. Then he came, he said, Ya Rasulullah, كان لي جارية, I had a servant girl, ترعى غنما لي قبل أحد والجوانية. I had a servant girl who used to tend to my sheep near Uhud, old Jawaniya, place near to Uhud. فَطَلَعْتُ ذَاتَ يَوْمٍ فَإِذَا الذِّئْبْ قَدْ ذَهَبَ بِغَنَمٍ بِشَاتٍ مِنْ غَنَمِهَا. And one day I went and I saw that a wolf had taken one of the sheep from her flock. He said, وَأَنَا رَجُلٌ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمْ أَسَفْكَ مَا يَأْسَفُونَ. And I'm a human being. You know, I'm one of the sons of Adam. I get angry just like everybody else. وَلَكِنِّي سَكَكْتُهَا سَكَّ. Said, and I slapped her a good one. Now, he says, he's narrating his story. He says, فَأَتَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And then I came to the Messenger of Allah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. فَعَظَّمَ ذَلِكَ عَلَيَّ. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught that this was extremely wrong. See, you're not supposed to hit an animal in his face. Now think about a human being. If you're not supposed to treat an animal badly, how are you going to go around slapping a brother, slapping a sister in her face? If you're not supposed to treat an animal like that. Okay. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam considered this grave. فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَفَلَا أُعْتِقُهَا. Should I not set her free? He said, "Itimi biha, bring her to me." He says, "Fa'ataytuhu biha, faqala laha, ayna Allah?" Came and he said, this is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking the question, "Ayna Allah? Where is Allah? Is he in your pocket?" Because if you say he's everywhere, that means he's in your pocket. He's in your shoes, in your socks, in your nostrils. You know, when you yawn, and some other places. If you say that he's everywhere. Ayna Allah? Where's Allah? Qalat fis sama, above the sky. Man ana? Who am I? Qalat anta Rasulullah. You are the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "A'tiqha fa innaha mu'mina." Free her because she is a believer. Two things were used as a yardstick for determining whether or not this sister was a believer. Now see, this person was out there tending to sheep. She didn't go to any philosophy class or any special session to learn about her belief system. Just mixing in the society of correct understanding, she came out and she said, "Fisama." She didn't say, "Oh, everything you look in here is Allah. Check it out. You're looking at divinity in this thobe or in this garment." She didn't say that. She said, "Fisama," above the sky. "Fi" here is used interchangeably with Allah. فَأَلَوْ أُسَلِّبَنَّكُمْ فِي جُذُوعِ النَّخْلِ وَلَا تَعْلَمُنَّ أَيُّنَا أَشَدُّ عَذَابًا وَأَبَقَى. When the magicians had embraced the deen of Islam, and Fir'aun says, "I will cut your hand and leg from opposite side, and you will know who has the upper hand. And then I will crucify you on the trunk of the tree." The word "fi" was used to mean above or on. "And you will know who abides more and who is more severe in punishment." قَالُوا لَن نُؤْثِرَكَ عَلَى مَا جَاءَنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالَّذِي swearing وَالَّذِي فَطَرَنَا فَقَضِي مَا أَنْتَقَاد. Says, "We shall never prefer you above the one who gave us life." وَالَّذِي فَطَرَنَا, by him who gave us life. فَقَضِي مَا أَنْتَقَاد, do what you will. إِنَّمَا تَقْضِي, you will only be able to overcome this life. الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. إِنَّا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّنَا لِيَغْفِرُ لَنَا خَطَايَانَا وَمَا أَقْرَهْتَنَا عَلَيْهِ مِنَ السِّحْرِ. And we hope that Allah will forgive us our sins, the mistakes that we made because of which were forced on us of this sihr, this witchcraft, this sorcery. وَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبَقَى. And Allah is better and shall abide forever. Now see, so the word used was "fi" to imply above. And this was something that was very well known. And the companions actually had the same understanding. According to the narratives that we had, when the Prophet ﷺ died, it was a terrible event for the believers. It was a terrible event for them. They couldn't believe that this person that we loved so much. Anas ibn Malik, he said, you know, speaking about one of the traditions and customs of the Prophet ﷺ that they had along with him, he said, "There was no one dearer to us when to look at than Allah's messenger." Nobody. Said, when he came in, we would not stand up for him out of honor and out of respect because we knew he disliked it. But there was no one dearer to us than Allah's messenger to look at him. You know, some of the companions would not even, out of respect, gaze at him directly in his face. One of them said, "مَا كُنْتُ أَسْتَطِعُ أَنْ أَمْلَ عَيْنَيَّ بِرُؤْيَةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ." I couldn't, out of respect, look at him directly in his face. He said, if I had to tell you, if you asked me to describe him to you, I couldn't do it properly. Because he would turn his head, you know, out of respect for the Prophet ﷺ. Abu Bakr then, during this time when people had felt the loss of the Prophet ﷺ, their beloved Prophet ﷺ, and Umar was there talking upset, emotional, Abu Bakr came and he says, "Man kana ya'budu Muhammadan فَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا قَدْ مَاتْ وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ فِي السَّمَاءِ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتْ." Whoever worships the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, none of the companions did this, then know that he has died. And whoever worships Allah, then know that Allah is above the sky and shall never die, ever living and shall never pass. These words of Abu Bakr askata Umar ibn al-Khattab, silenced him, brought him to his knees. But this was an understanding that the Sahaba had. And so it was expressed not only by Abu Bakr, by also Umar ibn al-Khattab himself. Abdul Rahman al-Ghanmi said, "Sami'tu Umar ibn al-Khattab." I heard Umar ibn al-Khattab saying, "Waylun." This is like destruction. "Lidayyan al-ard min dayyan al-sama yawma yalqawnahu." Woe to the judge in this life, in respect to the judge who is above the sky when he meets him. When he meets him. Be careful, in other words. These two individuals, the Prophet ﷺ says, "Iqtadu billadaini min ba'di Abi Bakr Umar." Follow these two people after me, Abu Bakr and Umar. This is their understanding. This was not only their understanding, but it was the understanding of the Tabi'een and the Atba'i Tabi'een. Al-Awza'i said, "Kunna wa Tabi'un mutawafirun." We and the Tabi'un were abundant. We used to say, "Inna Allah Ta'ala dhikruhu fawqa arshihi wa nu'minu bima warad bihi sunnah min as-sifat." We and the Tabi'un were abundant. All of us used to say that Allah is above, not everywhere, above the sky, and we believe what we find in the sunnah of His names and attributes. This was changed so much so that you have a movement today where this belief system is considered deviant. A person, Abi Multi' al-Hakim ibn Abdullah al-Balakhi, who was a student of Imam Abi Hanifa, he said, "Sa'altu Abu Hanifa." I asked Abu Hanifa, "Amman yaqul la a'rif Rabbi fi as-sama' aw fi al-ard." I asked him about a person who says, "Man, I don't know if my Lord is above or on the ground." Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, said, "Qad kafar." He has committed kufr. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَقُولُ الرَّحْمَنُ عَلَى الْأَرْشِ اسْتَوَى وَعَرْشُهُ فَوْقَ سَمَاوَاتِهِ. He said, because Allah says He is above His throne, and His throne is above the skies. فَقُلْتُ إِنْهُ يَقُولُ. He says, you know, I say that He, الرحمن العرش استوى, I say Allah is above His throne, but I don't know if His throne is there above the sky or on the earth. Trying to weasel his way out. Imam Abi Hanifa says, إِذَا أَنْكَرَ أَنَّهُ فِي السَّمَاءِ فَقَدْ كَفَرْ. He says, if he disbelieves in this particular aqidah, he has committed kufr. This was not only the belief of Imam Abi Hanifa, it was also the belief of Imam Malik. According to Abdullah bin Afi, he says that Malik ibn Anas says, "Allahu fi as-sama wa 'ilmuhu fi kulli makan la yakhlu minhu shay." That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the sky, and His knowledge is everywhere, He's aware of everything. La yakhlu minhu shay, nothing passes His knowledge by. This was the same thing that Al-Shafi'i said, that Imam Ahmad said, and I'm going to quote it from these four Imams, so that you will understand that the belief that some people have is based on deviance and not the understanding that the Prophet ﷺ had, that the companions had, and the understanding of the tabi'een, and the understanding of the scholars that we respect. But it is something new that is found in this deen. Imam Shafi'i said, Al-Qawl fi Sunnah allati ana alayha. The qawl, the statement, the position in the Sunnah that I'm on. وَرَأَيْتُ عَلَيْهَا الَّذِينَ رَأَيْتُهُمْ. And I found those who went before me on it. He said, like Sufyan ibn Uyayna, وَمَالِك ibn Anas, Imam Malik, and others. الْإِقْرَارُ بِالشَّهَادَةِ أَنْ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, that you bear testimony to that there is no God worthy of worship other than Allah. وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ عَرْشِهِ فِي سَمَائِهِ, that Allah is above His throne, above the sky. يَقْرُبُ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ وَيَنْزِلُ إِلَىٰ سَمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. He goes close to his creation in the way that He wills, and He descends the way He wills. He was expressing another part of belief that people used to think about. They said, well, you know, Allah says He descends. Does this mean then that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is no longer above? They had this thought simply because they thought, well, if a human does this, then Allah does it in this way. And so if I get up off this chair and the chair is no longer under me, then the same principle applies to Allah. So they have a human picture in their head, committing shirk first. And then based on the shirk, they try to apply this principle of measuring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qualities with His creation, and therefore they deny them. Trying to say, well, no, man, that ain't right. Not understanding that we have a principle in the Quran where Allah says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing whatsoever like Allah. You cannot use any human being, any act of a human being, as a yardstick to say then, if it applies to a human being, it is applicable to Allah. You cannot do that. And if you do it in your head, whenever you read the Quran and you hear something about Allah, you're on a path to misguidance. Because in your head you are committing shirk. And after committing shirk, you deny what Allah says about Himself. But you need to start a point at a position where you don't have that imagery in your head. You accept it as it is, without the picture in your head. And then you'll be on the path of these people that we're talking about. And this is why Imam Shafi'i pointed out this principle here. Look at what Imam Ahmad said. A person came to him and he said, Allah fawqa as-sama as-sabi'a ala arshihi ba'inun min khalqi. Allah is on His throne, above His throne, above the seven heavens, separate from His creation. Wa qudratuhu wa ilmuhu fi kulli makan, and His ability and His knowledge is found everywhere. Nothing passes Allah's knowledge by. He's aware of everything without being mixed up with it. Alright? Imam Ahmad's response was, Naam, huwa ala arshihi la yakhlu shayun min ilmihi. Yes, He is above His throne and nothing passes His knowledge by.